In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door. In as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Get to the Astros at the halfway point. I know it's not the literal halfway point. It's the figurative halfway point. But we got a few days of a break here on baseball, so we'll kind of assess where the Astros are. Seth, it's happening on Get Up right now. Just what you and I were talking about two segments ago. What's the lead? Well, the lead is actually a bunch of soccer fans essentially conducting their own rebellion outside a stadium or inside a stadium in Miami last night. But what's second? Training camp. 2 days till Texans training camp. Is CJ Stroud a top five quarterback? That's the topic on TV right now, baby. Yeah.
It's scintillating. Yeah. Who will he surpass?
Yeah. Who does he replace?
It's interesting, too, because I'm still waiting for somebody to come out and just flat out say, whether they believe it or not, that CJ was, like, in terms of the national talking heads and what have you, to like express a lot of doubt about CJ Stroud, and it hasn't happened yet. I think that's how resoundingly impressive his season was. And it's even when you talk about people having him having a sophomore slump, they tend to think, okay, well, it's going to be related to either Stephon Diggs and chemistry and the wide receivers. They rarely mention the actual issues, which are the rushing attack and the interior offensive line, which you know how I get. I get nervous. I get nervous when everybody – this is every damn economic bubble I've lived through, Sean, was people ignoring some of the obvious issues with what was creating the bubble.
Yep.
And then, boom, there you go. Yeah, the never going to – this could never – prices will never go down. That's where I start to get nervous.
Left guard is basically the equivalent of they're only doing calculations off of revenue, not profit.
Yeah, they're not not even doing? Revenue.
Yeah.
They haven't shown up.
100 times revenue. Okay, well, what's the EBITDA? What's that?
Yeah, that's right. They're not paying attention to EBITDA right now.
EBITDA, baby. Left guard is EBITDA.
There really are. Look, there are very few reasons to be skeptical of C.J. Stroud's promising performance his rookie year. It wasn't based on him running. It wasn't based on some flukishness or anything like that. He didn't have the support of a really good defense opposite him. And all of those things, really everything looks set up to be better this year, other than the running game where it's just not as obvious. Yeah. Like no matter if Joe Mixon was in the best shape of his life and played as well as he did when he was 23 years old or anything like that, there's still question marks about getting this run game going. But as far as C.J. Stroud himself, very little reason to really look at other than just the general history of the NFL that he's going to take a step backwards.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think the good thing about the running game is I do feel like the pieces are there. It could be a good running game. It's not as though it's like, all right, well, this offensive line, they've got like, one or two talented offense. Like, I feel like with Mixon and the guys they have, the potential is there. But you're right, a lot of unknown in that running game right now, no question.
The biggest thing, too, is if you look at Kyle Shanahan offenses generally, they improve in the second season. Yeah. And I remember talking to Gary Kubiak. When Kubiak first got here and I was kind of trying to learn exactly how, and I'd always been – I'd always been an admirer of Gary Kubiak's offenses, and I was always trying to figure out exactly what the offensive line technique was and everything, because it was a pain in the ass playing against those offenses. It wasn't as simple as back in the day they just cut block you on the backside. There was a lot more to it than that. And the biggest thing that Gary always stressed was just it's reps. It's reps. Reps, reps, reps. You got to make the run look exactly like the pass, and the offensive linemen are making a lot of decisions on the fly. And it doesn't come quickly and immediately. And Chris Strausser, the offensive line coach, had never been in a system like that. So generally, like with a Kyle Shanahan offense or a Gary Kubiak offense, you see steady improvement in the run game. And hopefully that's what you get this year.
Yep, no doubt. Astros at the half. Here's where we are with the percentages, okay? And this is, man, it was a lot more dire a few weeks ago. But right now, it is weighted, I would say, significantly more than a coin flip that they're going to make the postseason. 58.5% that they make the playoffs. And I'll tell you what, Seth, it feels higher than that right now. Like this, the fact that there has been a distinct two different Astro teams this year, like this is not something where they've kind of mucked their way to 50 and 46, where they went, 12 and 12 in April and, 13 and 15 in May. And then, in June, they went, 15 and 10 or something like that. Like, they have, by many measurements, not just the record, but also the hitting and the pitching, the stats, they've been one of the best teams in baseball pretty much since, like, towards the end of May.
Well, I think if you look at the back of the baseball cards in the beginning of the season, you would say, all right, if you had all these injuries, if we take this roster, but then you have all these injuries to your starting pitching, then you could excuse away being down to like a 500 record just through the injuries alone. It was the perfect storm of horrendous performances by otherwise really good baseball players and the presence of Jose Abreu being such a minus in your lineup at times that just it made it that much worse than what the injuries would have provided. And I think where you sit right now, it's, in making that roar of a comeback over the last month, all right, I can go back to using the injuries as an excuse for where they are right now. I can say, all right, but with still, you've got to acknowledge that starting pitching and those issues. I don't know what to tell you about Rafael Montero. I mean, he's just
like
clockwork with allowing home runs. He's just going to go out there and he's going to light up a home run for you. That's what he does. That's his forte.
The two big Bagwell signings, or at least the ones that have Bagwell's fingerprints on them, either by perception or actuality, one way or the other, and for many fans, it doesn't matter. Perception is reality, were Jose Abreu and Rafael Montero. Jose Abreu stunk, obviously, as we know, for the 2 months he was with the team this year, and they DFA'd him. Rafael Montero actually looked like he had kind of gotten it back together. And then right about the time things were dwindling or, kind of petering out with Abreu being here, was about the time Montero started looking like he looked even worse, actually, than he looked last year. Bagwell can't win, man. He's like, hey.
Right. Michael Schwab put this out. Since June 1st, he's got an ERA of 7.5.
Yeah, he's not usable.
Lest you accuse me of cherry picking, before that he was 4.84. But he's got an ERA of 7.59. He's given up 7 runs over his past 7 appearances.
Yeah.
Don't worry, everybody. He's in the top 10 of salaries for relievers. So it should work out. If we're going, let's not go by the back of the baseball card. Let's go by his actual salary. He should be looking like the best reliever of all time over the second half of the season.
If it balances out, for sure. Yeah, that'll happen. So 58.5% to make the playoffs, 47% to win the division, which is tops. This is on FanGraphs. And then 4.8% to win the World Series. So that's where we are right now. One game back in the Mariners, even in the loss column, with a series against the Mariners coming up after the All-Star break. Like boom, we come out of the All-Star break and immediately we get a fun regular season series coming out of the All-Star break.
Yeah, this is where the rubber meets the road in a lot of ways. And you've got a chance to... I don't want to talk about, you know, controlling your own destiny or anything like that at this point in the season. But this has the chance to be a much higher emotional impact game than any other midseason series versus a good opponent. Especially because against all odds, the Mariners have become the team that I hate the most in baseball right now when it comes to head-to-head matchups versus the Astros.
Yep.
If Scott Servais... I hope they pitch inside to Scott Servais at some point. I want Hunter Brown to actually turn 45 degrees to the right and throw it directly at Scott Servais.
Got away from me. Sorry. Yeah.
Back off that top step, old man.
I would say if there's issues with the Astros right now, it's absolutely depth in the starting rotation. Seth, as you pointed out a couple times this morning, especially on the heels of Ronel Blanco yesterday, the box score looked good. But the velocity is down a little bit right now with Ronel Blanco. He's going to start to approach innings totals that he's not accustomed to. Hunter Brown is going to start to approach innings totals that he's not accustomed to. These two guys have been two of, if not the two most valuable guys on the team during this rise of June and July that they've had here.
Right, and that's good, and that's feeding you the kind of mild concern level. Right. Spencer Arrighetti is going to pitch more than he's ever pitched in the majors. And Arrighetti, man, you see exactly why. Boy, if he were in AAA right now, I'd feel awesome about his 2025 prospects.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to be up here.
No.
And yet there he is. And you see the good. It's just that you also see the parts of him needing more development.
Yep.
Bloss would be the big unknown. That, you know, Bloss... Bloss is he's going to get more major league innings than he's ever had because he was in college a year ago.
Yeah.
And yet there's something there. There's something there with Bloss.
Yep. Now, I think the hope was they're going to get Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers back. I don't know that happened. Certainly with McCullers, doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. Garcia, I think we'll get a clearer view after the All-Star break. Verlander's the big one. Here was Joe Espada's update yesterday on Justin Verlander.
He threw 25 pitches. He threw all his pitches, fastball, change, and the slider. He looked really good. So see how he feels tomorrow, and the plan is for him to throw another side here in the upcoming days.
I just don't – Joe Espada, don't take this the wrong way. It's just it's the organization that you work for more than it is you. When you say he looked really good, I just don't believe anything anybody says anymore with the Astros
when it comes
to somebody looking really – looking, quote, really good.
Yeah, even me not being overly concerned about Luis Garcia, you know, taking a little bit of a break here has more to do with Luis Garcia's personality himself. I feel like he's the guy you want around in a stressful situation. Everything is just always, he's just even Steven all the way through. As far as Blanco goes, the number is where you just gotta pay attention a little bit because his velocity's been down a tick for the last couple appearances. So he's had... he's pitched 109 innings so far.
Mm-hmm.
He's never pitched more than 125 and a third innings in a season as a professional.
Yeah.
So he's already at 109. And earlier in the season, he had an extra day's rest, a bunch, including that suspension too. And he was very, very good when he had an extra day of rest. He's had 4 days of rest in 5 of his 9 starts since that point. And he's failed to finish 6 innings in 3 of them.
Mm.
His ERA in those 5 starts where he's had normal rest is 4.97.
Yeah.
So, like, it's – I'm not down on Blanco or anything. I just – the reality of the situation is you can't trust that on regular rest for the rest of the season, pitching more innings than he's ever pitched before, that he's going to be the same guy as like the really, really good version of Blanco.
Yeah. I would say even if all the things you just said didn't exist, if he was working on 5-6 days, like longer rest, having all these numbers, you know, he's top five in a lot of categories. I think it's just fair to wonder, like, okay, how sustainable would this be, even if there weren't rest issues or workload issues and things like that? Like, he's you know, 15 starts into a career that's been like barely 20 starts at the major league level, you know. But he's been great. Joe Spada talked about him. He said Blanco has saved us the first half of the season.
He's been huge to his team. How reliable he's been, the amount of innings, the big outs, how consistent he's been, how our team feels when he's on the mound. He's starting to be one of those guys that you're counting the days for him to be on the mound because you're getting a good chance to win the game. And he's been one of our stars in this first half. And we would not be in this position if it wasn't for the job he's done.
Now, the thing about Blanco, where despite all of that cautionary warning stuff that I gave you just then, the thing about him that's encouraging is that, all right, he's become craftier. Yeah. His slider and his changeup are, when paired with or tripled up with his fastball, are really tough for hitters to hit. You just wonder how long you can sustain that when, like, he didn't induce a single whiff yesterday on his fastball.
Yeah.
So, and he gets better through the second and third time through the order, and that's really cool. Like, it's not like he looks like he's a rookie out there or anything. It's just you start to worry about with more and more film on him and players not respecting his fastball, how long can you sustain that? That's a big – nobody knows.
Yeah.
Let's trade for three starting pitchers.
Hey, well, this is where him being 30 years old probably factors in some way, shape, or form, right?
Yeah.
Like the ability to kind of grind through adversity, the ability to find other ways to get guys out.
Yeah.
I love yesterday that he gave up that home run early in the game and he bounced back and didn't give up anything else the rest of the way. Montero's the one who gave up the other two runs yesterday. So he's been their MVP this season, as far as I'm concerned, the Astros.
Who would be the other candidates?
Altuve for sure.
Yeah.
Because Altuve's having one of his best seasons.
Tucker, if Tucker were doing anything more than taking leisurely strolls around Memorial Park right now as his exercise, I would say Tucker would have been, but obviously there's a little bit of a hiccup.
A little bit of a hiccup, yeah. Yeah, if Tucker had stayed healthy and was continuing to do what he was doing when he got hurt, it would probably be him. But I think it's Blanco is it for me. I would say Altuve. Yordan, just based on sheerly on the numbers, like even though Yordan by Yordan standards is probably having like a B or a B plus season, by human standards it's like an A or an A plus season for a lot of guys. So Yordan's in the mix just because of his numbers. I would say like from June 1st on, Hunter Brown is in there. Like Hunter Brown's the version of Hunter Brown that the Astros have gotten, other than the one hiccup start that I was at in Minnesota that Saturday. But the version they've gotten over his last like 10 starts has been one of the most dominant Astros pitchers that we've seen, not just this season, but over the course of this run that they've had the last several years.
You know, the cool thing about Hunter Brown is his aggression and his anger. I feel like maybe he's had a little bit of a Roger Clemens balancing act to have to learn to work through, where, you know, Clemens was one of those guys who could pitch in a rage and knew how to control it and everything. With Hunter, it feels like he's been kind of maybe tiptoeing his way through everything. And then
there's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots
of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the Free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Once he added that sinker to his arsenal, and now he can come out and feel like he can go on the attack more, it's unleashed a part of him that you hadn't seen before. You know what it's like? It's like when George H.W. Bush went ballistic during one of the debates, and all of a sudden people realize, like, oh, this isn't just some meek vice president anymore.
Yeah.
He's, this is the fire I want to see out of a potential president.
Wow. Did he just say, read my lips? Oh my
yeah.
God, he just threw down the gauntlet. Yeah, that's Hunter. Yeah, because Hunter Brown, kind of a baby-faced assassin, no? Does he shave yet? He doesn't look like he shaves. He's got
still looks pretty smooth-faced, yeah.
So, one game back of the Mariners right now, man, even in the loss column. Maybe Montero text message. Maybe Montero should try playing catch. That's from Chris in the ATL. Everybody else is playing catch. Why not Montero, for sure? This one... did you see the news over the weekend, Seth? They signed Aledmys Diaz, the Astros did, to a minor league contract.
Yeah, yep.
I like having him back in the organization. The text message, I didn't even know the Astros re-signed Aledmys Diaz over the weekend. They have Dubon, they don't need him. Well, they signed him to a minor league deal. I don't think they're signing Aledmys Diaz to come in and put pressure on Mauricio Dubon out of the utility spot that he's in. I think they're just signing a familiar face to have him in the organization. That's all. I wouldn't read too much into that. Aledmys Diaz being brought back in.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Let's get to Acknowledge Me. We do this every Monday. Seth, I understand that you and Brandon Scott acknowledged me in Acknowledge Me last weekend.
We did. We saw you on vacation, taking it up a notch and just getting into a war with Twins fans over and over again. Well, what'd you attend? Two of those games?
Two of them,
Twins series? And you were dismayed that a bunch of bums, what'd you say, about 90% of Twins fans cheered when Altuve got beamed?
I didn't make an estimate, but you can fill in whatever number you want to. Too many. How's that? Too many cheered when Jose Altuve got hit on the hand. An injury, by the way, from which he is still suffering. He's not playing in the All-Star game. Now, Jose might have found another way to skirt the All-Star game, but
he does have a legitimate injury. These last three All-Star games that he's missed, he's had legitimate injuries.
Yeah.
And as he and his agent, Scott Boras, will tell you, it's because he cares about the game and wants to be sure he's healthy for the rest of the season. Now, nobody accuses the other guys who aren't going of being selfish and not caring about the rest of the season. I haven't talked to you about this, Sean. I don't know if you agree with me or not. I have zero interest in ever seeing Altuve in another All-Star game if all that's going to happen is he's going to get out there and a bunch of drunken Yahoo idiots are going to boo him for reasons they don't even understand. They can all go die. If they want to see Altuve, they can come over to my house and I'll show them a picture as I beat them over the head with blunt objects, okay?
I like
you need
that.
To see Altuve? I've got some. I'll have some VHS tapes you can watch while I kick you in the back of the head.
I got some Tuve for you right here.
Yeah.
I got your Tuve. These Tuves.
I've got a 5'6" tree trunk that I'll bash you with,
that's
okay?
Right. That's right.
That's what I call my Altuve. What do they call it? A shillelagh? I got a 5'6" shillelagh.
That's right. That's a big shillelagh right there. So no Altuve in the All-Star game. Acknowledge me. We acknowledge great performance from over the weekend. We acknowledge this one's going to be a little sadder, I think, than some acknowledge me's that we've had just because we lost a lot of people this weekend, man. So we're going to acknowledge them here and acknowledge me. But first, let's get to the sports stuff.
Acknowledge me.
Hang on. That's the cut we play after I say their name. Chris jumped the gun. It's all right. I was pointing at you, Chris. That's my bad. Reed Sheppard, a.k.a. Cracker McBuckets.
Acknowledge me.
Dude looks... I know it's two summer league games, Seth, but I'm going to get excited about two summer league games. Looks like the Rockets might have gotten this pick... might have gotten this one right at number three.
He looks... You don't want to read too much into it, but you can always read into a bad performance. And this was the exact opposite of a bad performance. Yeah. This was... Man, all right. He looks as advertised... And as a facilitator, as a playmaker, as a defender, he was doing everything you'd love to see out of a guy who's a very, very young dude. This was really cool. I mean, I'm not going to pretend that this is exactly how he would look versus NBA players or anything like that, versus the full NBA roster. But the vision and obviously his shot and everything else he was doing on ball, and man, that looked really, really good.
Yeah.
It was nice.
You know what it looks like? And again, two summer league games. He's got to play against real NBA players. I get all that. But I think I liked the pick. That's who I wanted them to take with the pick before the draft. So I'm predisposed to look at this stuff probably and get super excited about it because I want to be right. But I think it's another lesson that we talk about with the NFL draft a lot, which is sometimes you get too caught up in what your actual roster currently looks like when you start drafting high like that. When yeah. really the obvious thing, the obvious answer is, man, just take a really good player and then figure the rest out later.
Take the best basketball
player. Yeah.
The whole thing is, like, he's got he's incredibly accurate from the 3-point line. And, so obviously, okay, well, how do you use that as more than just a catch and shoot guy that comes in off the bench or something? It's can he exploit that and do stuff driving towards the rim, making entry passes, kicking it out after he drives. Like, he did that. Like, you saw, you could go down and check off the list of things that you want to see out of a guy that can be more than just an outside shooter. And he did all of that. Now it's just a matter of getting more reps, and he's going to get playing time because there's one thing you can count on with some of these Rockets. They're going to get injured.
Yes.
Through a combination of age and proneness to injury. He's going to get time in the regular season.
Yep. Love me some Reed Sheppard. Lionel Messi.
Acknowledge me.
Argentina won the Copa America last night. And congratulations to Lionel Messi, who is obviously the leader of that Argentinian team, best player in the world. Did leave the game with a non-contact injury in the second half, but Argentina wins the Copa America for the 16th time. I use this, Seth, not so much to talk about the soccer aspect, but to ask you if you saw some of the shenanigans of the what looked to be largely Colombian fans storming the gates at the stadium in Miami to go thieve thousands of seats from people who paid literally thousands of dollars to sit in those seats. Fans sneaking in through air ducts into the building. This was a wild scene last night. The start of the game was delayed by over an hour because of this last night.
I blame the air duct entry. Honestly, I blame Netflix. I think people are so inundated with various bank heist movies or... Brandy and I just watched some series called Heist on Netflix, these armored car robberies and everything. I think people are just getting more and more innovative in the ways that they can commit minor crimes because they're inspired by Netflix. I did see I saw various people, not just in Houston, but elsewhere, just talking about like, oh, is this what we have to worry about when the World Cup comes? I don't think so, just because it's not like this is the first international soccer event we've had in America.
Yeah.
This is still a one-off occurrence that happened at this game. And I guess you use it as, you know, you put it in the memory bank of like security risks you have to worry about. But I'm not worried that we're going to have mayhem at NRG as long as they get those roof fixed before
they got to get the roof fixed.
Yeah.
I would say at a minimum, it's probably created at least another week's worth of meetings for World Cup people in the various cities, you know, like
probably, yeah.
You know, like get out the PowerPoint and the laser pointer and say, okay, we, you know, the overhead map of the stadium. We probably need to fortify this area and that area. But yeah, I'm with you on that. Probably
when I think back to various national security incidents that have happened,
yeah.
The perimeter. It's all about controlling the perimeter.
The perimeter, baby.
So like you remember the Super Bowl when we were here, remember to get into the NRG for the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
It was like three levels of security.
Yeah.
Where you had to go through phase one, then phase two, then phase three. And you can't let the masses of people without tickets right up at
no.
the gates. They're going to figure out a way to storm the gates, damn it.
The only Super Bowl I've ever attended in person, because I couldn't go to the one here, I was doing my CBS show that night from the studio right across the hall where I could see the stadium where the Super yeah. Bowl was taking place. The only one I ever went to in person was the one we heard the highlight from earlier with Jacoby Jones, that Harbaugh Super Bowl in New Orleans. And I remember getting there, and I've been to the Superdome a number of times before that. So I'm like, you know, walking through the French Quarter and walking over to go cover the Super Bowl. And I'm like way, way, way before I thought I would need to start getting out my ID and everything. I had to get out my ID and everything. I'm like, but the stadium's like a half mile away. I'm like, I know, you get in right here, like a half mile from the stadium. It's crazy. The perimeter it's a large perimeter at these events, man.
I thought you said your IUD. I was like, well, you're going to have some fun at this event.
It's New Orleans.
I didn't know they still made those things.
It's yeah. New Orleans, yeah. All right, we got to acknowledge some of the icons from this weekend that are no longer with us.
Acknowledge me!
Say their name, Chris. Dr. Ruth. Dr. Ruth!
Acknowledge me!
Chris, you're not getting acknowledged, Chris. I'm going to tell you.
The younger people listening might not realize that there was a time in America where the sex was not talked about openly over the airwaves, certainly not on Sports Radio 610.
No.
And yet Dr. Ruth was there to go on Donahue or Sally Jesse Raphael or anywhere else and tell you all you needed to know about how to pleasure your lady.
It's, dude, that's not an exaggeration. Did you ever listen to her? Dr. Ruth passed away this weekend, undisclosed cause of death. At least
she was 97. There's your cause of death.
Yeah, she was in her late 90s. She was a child of the Holocaust, lost both her parents in the Holocaust back in the day.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like she's got an amazing story. And she came over here and she became a one-person cottage industry. She really did. Did you ever listen to her syndicated radio show on Sunday nights?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you're listening to that as a teenager, like that was our sex ed back then. There was no internet. It was really hard to get a hold of the magazines that would educate you on stuff like this. And let's face it, the school system wasn't always the best at this either. Dr. Ruth at like 9 o'clock on Sunday nights, man, she was it.
This was back in a day when many, I would say 87% of all men in America were in denial that some female body parts even existed. Like, what? I'm going to pay attention to that part? Nah.
Yeah.
That's a myth. That's a myth. And Dr. Ruth told us. She informed us.
She did.
She gave us the truth.
And we trusted her.
Well, big media tried to lie.
That's right. And we trusted her. Big genital. We were getting fooled by big genital. All right. So Dr. Ruth passes away at the age of 96. Richard Simmons.
Acknowledge me.
80s icon. Passes away this weekend at the age of 76. Richard Simmons, man. His aerobic exercise syndicated TV show and Deal-A-Meal.
He's big with Deal-A-Meal. The cool thing about Richard Simmons was that he did not look one bit like a guy who would be a fitness icon, you know, which made it more realistic.
Yes.
You're like, oh, this is just a freakishly energetic and enthusiastic dude who used to be very overweight, but who like he genuinely loved all the people that he was talking to and that were in his classes and everything. So it was a very unique American individual. I don't know how many other like fitness icons there have been quite like him.
No.
You know, I mean, like if you had to take odds on, oh yeah, this guy's going to be a fitness I don't even want to call him an expert. He was more just like of a motivator and a coach.
Yeah.
He would have had very long odds.
Go find the YouTubes, man. If you're a young kid, and go find the YouTubes of Richard Simmons. And it was, man, he was a like Dr. Ruth, for different reasons, he was a one-man industry, man. Like, he was...
Well, another thing that the kids wouldn't understand was there were times where you only had three, maybe four options of what to watch on television if you had UHF in your city.
Yes.
And at any given time, you might be forced, if you wanted to watch... Unless you wanted to go play outside, you were watching Richard Simmons.
Yep. Richard Simmons.
Never, ever making fun of anything involved with him, though.
No!
Ever. No. We never did that.
Why would they do that? No.
We were nice.
No.
Totally nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go watch and you'll see. Yeah, it was fine. Now, there was a time where there were only four channels, and then along one day in the early 90s came Fox, and one of the catalysts that put Fox on the map, not just the NFL, but Beverly Hills 90210, followed up by Melrose Place. Every Monday, I think it was back in the day, but one of the stars of 90210 early on, Shannon Doherty.
Acknowledge me.
Passes away at the age of 53. 90210 was a cultural phenomenon back in the day. I don't think that's overstating.
Yeah, I think around when I was around like 7th or 8th grade or so, that was when everything all went crazy there.
Yes.
And, you know, boys started wearing sideburns again and everything.
Yeah.
And Shannon Doherty was a big part of that.
She was a big part of that. She played Brenda Walsh, the twin sister of Brandon Walsh, played by Jason Priestley.
Couple of nice kids from the Midwest that found themselves plopped down into a super exclusive part of Beverly Hills, weirdly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big story with her back in the day was she was a handful behind the scenes.
Oh, she was?
Yeah. There's a reason why she only lasted a few seasons on that show. And then they eventually...
She did?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
They wrote
she
her.
Wasn't on the whole, the entirety of the series.
No,
okay.
No, only a few seasons, and they wrote her character off, and she had some issues behind the scenes, and then they kind of replaced her with Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Not replaced her actual character, but sort of replaced that role of the dark-haired bad girl with her. Yeah. But Shannon Doherty
What was her name? Kimberly what?
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Oh, okay.
She was also on Saved by the Bell. You may know her as Kelly Kapowski on Saved by the Bell, but Shannon Doherty is who we're talking about here. Passes away from cancer at the age of 53. She'd been in a fight with cancer for a few years. Went into remission, came back, and she passes away at the age of 53 over the weekend.
Get your exams early and often, everybody.
Yes.
Prevention.
That is
prevention is big.
That is the lesson. All right, last one here. Ken Hoffman.
Acknowledge me.
Sad one for me. I know it was a sad one for people of Houston. Ken Hoffman, longtime writer at the Houston Post, Houston Chronicle, of late, Culture Map. Passed away over the weekend yesterday. A lot of the details still not out yet, but a lot of people, including myself, acknowledging Ken on social media. I don't know how many people know this. Ken was one of my very best friends. We traveled the country doing a lot of stuff together. He, like me, was a wrestling nerd, so we went to four WrestleManias together. Did a few MS-150s. I know people aren't going to believe that, but back in the early 2000s, I rode the MS-150 with him a few times.
And you never would have done that without Ken's encouragement.
I would definitely not have done that without
Ever.
Ken's encouragement. Now, he did make fun of me right up until the day he died that by the third MS-150, I faked a flat tire halfway through that one.
How'd you fake a flat tire?
He never let me forget that.
Did you fake it or did you just did you puncture it?
No,
yourself?
I didn't puncture it myself. I just said, I think something's wrong with this tire. So I jumped on one of the shuttles that they had there, put my
vehicles,
bike on the back.
Yeah.
I was like, screw this, man. I just can't go the rest of I'm just out of shape. Yeah.
And I only knew him a little bit, Sean, and I know how highly you thought of him, but he seemed like the consummate man of the people.
Big time.
he would do food review, but it was fast food.
Yes.
I thought Jake Myers hitting a home run off of the foul pole and getting everybody a free Chick-fil-A yesterday. I actually thought, like, you know what? I would actually say that's a Ken Hoffman
dude,
deal right there,
dude, that's
man.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Because he preferred to take his meetings at Chick-fil-A, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't going to take you to some fancy wine and cheese place for a business meeting. He was going to meet you at Chick-fil-A.
He took you. If I had a dime for every meet, for every lunch I had with Ken at Chick-fil-A, because he had a bottomless Chick-fil-A gift card. He had gift cards to everything, and you didn't eat a meal with him somewhere that he didn't eat for free at. And yes, he reviewed fast food. He even wrote a book, Would You Like Fries With That?, where he had all of his fast food reviews in there and things like that that he dropped probably 20 years ago. But Chick-fil-A and then the Shipley's in West U after this show, probably once every few weeks, once a month, Ken and I would get together there, eat some tasty treats, assess mankind, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
He'll be missed,
you know,
man.
Even that Shipley's is, that's a man of the people Shipley's.
Big time
to go to.
Yeah.
It's situated in like the one spot between Bel Air and West U where you're kind of like, where the hell am I? What the hell is this? This doesn't feel like either of those places.
It's a bizarro oasis.
It's like a wasteland in the middle of a couple of the more tonier places in Houston. Yeah,
man. Ken was one of a kind. I'm going to miss him. A lot of people are going to miss him. And, just a sad day. I found out driving home from vacation yesterday.
Is it fair to say one of the guys from the Chronicle said that he was almost like a Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm type character?
Oh, yeah. Dude, 100%.
She's just going to tell you how he sees it and kind of see a different facet to things than the average person might see it.
And he would find himself in all these situations that you could have easily wrote a Curb episode about. I have more stories of things I've done with Ken Hoffman, like fun, entertaining, hilarious, sometimes pathetic things that I've done with Ken Hoffman. I have more stories with him than I do like my next 10 friends' stories combined.
Really?
Yeah, it's not an exaggeration, man. Like, I was in the car yesterday on a long trip finding this out, and I was just sitting there, and I was just so many stories kept coming back, so I'm going to miss him. A lot of people are going to miss him, but I'm going to acknowledge him one more time. And by the way,
acknowledge me!
Biggest wrestling fan I know. He would love being acknowledged in a segment where Roman Reigns was acknowledging him. I'm going to tell you that right now. All right. That was acknowledge me. All right. So we mentioned it. I started a war with the state of Minnesota while I was on vacation, because that's what I do. I'll play the audio that started the war with Minnesota, and I'll share with you some of the dumbest things that I learned about Twins fans. We'll do that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast. Someone asked on the text page, we just got done doing Acknowledge Me, and we acknowledged the various iconic figures that passed away over the weekend. Someone says, did I miss Jacoby Jones? No, Jacoby got his own segment in headlines.
We can make mention of that throughout the show. That
for sure.
Jacoby Jones passes away over the weekend. His family said that he passed quietly in bed at night, and 40 years old, and a guy that was just everybody I've ever talked to who was teammates with him says that he was one of the most unique individuals ever. Just like a pure beam of energy and fun and love. And in a way that very, very few people are. And then ended up, aside from having an incredible kickoff return for a touchdown in the Super Bowl, was like a huge hit on Dancing with the Stars.
Huge. Finished third.
Yeah,
finished third. All right, so over the weekend, I was at, or over my vacation, two weekends ago, the 5th and the 6th, I went to the Twins-Astros game. So I was there on Friday night for that 13-12 game. The Astros almost found a way to lose in the ninth inning. And then I was there the next day for what was a blowout win by the Twins. Friday night was the night that went, you know, kind of off the rails a little bit, to me in a good way. I liked it. It was fun. The Astros won. But I did not like seeing Jose Altuve get beaned in the hand. Moreover, I did not like hearing Twins fans in my section cheering Jose Altuve, not only getting hit, but he went down in a heap. Like, and from where we were sitting, Seth, we were in the left field bleachers. You couldn't tell if he got hit in the head. You couldn't tell if he got hit in the hand. You couldn't tell where he got hit. You could just tell he got hit up high. There was a sickening thwack. And the Twins fans sitting near me, several, were cheering while he was on the ground. I didn't like it one bit. And after the game, I had some things to say.
Man, we had to sweat that one out. The Astros did. They went 13-12 over the Twins. Here's my thing. And this is a PSA to all you non-Astro fans out there. When Jose Altuve gets beamed by a pitch, I don't care if you boo Jose Altuve when he comes to the plate. I actually encourage you to do that because he hits better when you do. When he gets hit on the wrist or the face or wherever the he got hit by and you cheer, you're a And so here's the thing. There were Twins fans out here in the bleachers, in these very bleachers, who cheered when Jose Altuve got hit. And I looked at them, and I glared at them, and they glared back. And the Astros proceeded to score
monumental runs on top of what they had, seven runs. And I kept looking. It turned into glaring for them and laughing for me. When Margot dropped that fly ball, I literally rolled around on the ground and laughed because the Twins are a pathetic poser of a team. Here's my thing. Any of you teams out there, you fans that cheer for Altuve, here's my thing. If you're going to cheer when Altuve gets hit, just stay for the rest of the game. That's all I ask. Stay for the rest of the game, regardless of what the score is. Stay for the rest of the game. If you leave, you're a chump. You're a chump. And this whole set of stands right here, empty seats that once held thousands of chumps. Thanks for having us, Minnesota.
Okay, now maybe
thousands of chumps.
Maybe thousands was exaggerating a little bit. Not all thousands of them were cheering, but boy, it sure did make for good theater and good social media interaction.
You got from what I could tell, you were getting attacked by Twins fans for the entirety of your vacation,
dude. It went on for 8 days. It finally simmered down over the weekend. Like it literally went on for days and days.
Just because you call them chumps.
I call them chumps.
And cowards.
And I didn't see
And whatever else was beeped out.
Yeah. So a lot of interaction with these Twins fans, it's certainly created a team for me to have at least sort of a tangential rooting interest for or against, I would say.
Yeah. I was surprised because Prince once said that people in Minnesota are so nice because the cold keeps all the mean people away. The Minnesotans I saw on your social media did not seem all that nice to me at all. I don't think Prince would have approved.
No.
That's the state that killed Prince after all.
You got that right. So a lot of social media interaction. The video from which that audio came has over 700,000 views right now. These are the four dumbest things that I learned about Twins fans over the weekend, Seth. I'll rapid fire these very quickly.
Yeah.
They all still think Altuve cheated, which I've become kind of accustomed to everywhere. Like that's just something we're going to have to live with that for the rest of Altuve's career. They all think Altuve cheated, right?
Right. Yeah. And they all I would guess the majority of them actually believe the buzzer story too, which is an even greater crime. If you believe the buzzer story, you're just a bastard.
Yeah. These people root for Correa.
And
Correa got hit the very next day. And I said, well, what are we doing here? Are we cheering this? He was a big cheater, too.
Right. If you hate Altuve because he's supposedly a cheater, which he was not, then Correa, who 100% did everything that he was accused of and owned up to it.
Yes.
And I love Correa, but what the hell?
Yeah.
Can you at least pretend to have some integrity,
dude?
Minnesota? Can you pretend to not be a complete dullard and moron?
Right.
My God.
So we've got that. Number two, there are a lot of people pointing out Houston is the only place that loves or respects Jose Altuve. He's not respected nor loved anywhere else in baseball, to which I pointed out he did get voted in to start the All-Star game. I want to point that out. He had 2 million All-Star votes, and their reply was, well, Astro fans can stuff the ballot box. And I said, well, listen, Einstein, wouldn't it stand to reason that it would be all Astros then in the starting lineup, or at least more than just Altuve and Yordan?
No, it would be all Yankees and Dodgers fans. It would be like the teams that have the hugest fan base if it's all just fan voting, a team's own fans voting, then it would be all Dodgers and Yankees and whatever other big fan bases.
Altuve starting. And Kyle Tucker couldn't win the runoff to get in.
Right.
It's stupid. Number three, and this might be the dumbest one. They, being the Twins fans, went into the whole how many World Series have you won versus how many have we won? And I was like, well, we've won two. And to my knowledge, you've won two, 1987 and 1991. They're like, oh, no, we've won three. We won in 1924 as well. And I'm like, wait, hold on a second. The Washington Nationals, this is before the Washington Senators, the first iteration of the Washington Nationals in 1924, which eventually 10 presidential terms later, administrations later, became the Twins, in the 60s. They won the World Series in 1924. There are Twins fans out there claiming that as a Minnesota Twins World Series.
Because it was in Minnesota. Because it was a team that played in Minnesota.
No, they played in Washington. It was the team that eventually became the Twins.
Oh, the Washington National. Okay, I thought the team was in Minnesota.
They
you're going to get off... Well, if they want to get that technical about it, too, I would say that... I guess since maybe two-thirds of the guys that are on the Astros wouldn't be allowed to play in Major League Baseball at that time, then yeah, I guess so.
I like that.
You couldn't be a person of color in Major League Baseball. Congratulations on your super exclusive World Series, you
dude,
bums.
Dude, how about this? I had one guy tweet me because I was like, are you guys really claiming this? Like, you can't, this is the rule. You can't claim a championship for your city that your city did not actually celebrate. There's no way people in Minnesota in 1924 were celebrating Washington, D.C.'s team winning the World Series back before the Depression. There's no chance of that. One guy says, how is this any different than if the Guardians were to win the World Series this year and if the Indians had won some World Series? I'm like, franchise. They changed the mascot.
Same franchise. Yeah. Well, at that point, you just got to check out from those guys.
Which I did.
Again, they've already established they have no respect for the truth, Sean.
Yeah.
They have no respect for integrity. Just a vast wasteland of bastards and un-American pieces of crap up there is what they are. If you boo Altuve, then you are un-American.
Yep. And I say same franchise. I know that the technically that Washington team's the same. I'm talking about like the same city. Like Cleveland Indians, Cleveland Guardians. It's the same group of fans celebrating it. Washington Nationals in the 20s and Minnesota Twins fans, whenever, were never celebrating the same things. Last one, I had a lot of Twins fans coming at me like, how many wins are you on pace for this year? And I'm like, I don't know. Eight less than you. It's July. Like, what are we doing?
The best part about it is that even that Carlos Correa doesn't even want to be up there. That like their beloved Carlos Correa, they choose not to be, ignore anything he might have done in the being better than everybody else scandal. He doesn't even want to be there.
Dude.
That was his fourth choice. Under duress, he signed that contract after nobody else would take him.
I was courteous about that till the Altuve incident happened. Then I'm like, oh, you mean you guys, the sloppy fourths for Carlos Correa? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what I learned on my
It's like
vacation.
A guy from an arranged marriage bragging about how he bagged his wife. Dude, it was what the hell are you talking about? You had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, way to go. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Man, summer content for the NFL, at least according to social media and what I've seen, the morsels out there, is on fire. This is the cautionary tale when it comes to acquiring a diva wide receiver. And it ain't here. I'm going to tell you that right now. We'll let you hear it coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's a great day to venture out in a spacious and capable Toyota SUV, like the new RAV4. With available all-wheel drive, it can go just about anywhere. And with plenty of passenger and cargo space, you'll go from morning carpool to weekend road trip without missing a beat. Plus, with available features like wireless charging and a touchscreen interface, your Toyota RAV4 will keep you connected no matter where you're going. Or check out a spacious Highlander. With seating for up to 8, it's a hub for family adventure. You'll drive in comfort and style with available heated and ventilated seats and all the latest tech. And with available hybrid models, your new Highlander can save you tons on gas. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day. So don't wait. Buy a RAV4 or Highlander today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do food review, but it was fast food.
Yes.
I thought Jake Myers hitting a home run off of the foul pole and getting everybody a free Chick-fil-A yesterday. I actually thought, like, you know what? I would actually say that's a Ken Hoffman
dude,
deal right there,
dude, that's
man.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Because he preferred to take his meetings at Chick-fil-A, right? Yeah, like, he wasn't going to take you to some fancy wine and cheese place for a business meeting. He was going to meet you at Chick-fil-A.
He took you. If I had a dime for every meet, for every lunch I had with Ken at Chick-fil-A, because he had a bottomless Chick-fil-A gift card. He had gift cards to everything, and you didn't eat a meal with him somewhere that he didn't eat for free at. And yes, he reviewed fast food. He even wrote a book, Would You Like Fries With That?, where he had all of his fast food reviews in there and things like that that he dropped probably 20 years ago. But yeah, Chick-fil-A and then the Shipley's in West U after this show, probably once every few weeks, once a month, Ken and I would get together there, eat some tasty treats, assess mankind, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
He'll be missed,
you know,
man.
Even that Shipley's is, that's a man of the people Shipley's
big time
to go to.
Yeah.
It's situated in like the one spot between Bel Air and West U where you're kind of like, where the hell am I? What the hell is this? This doesn't feel like either of those places.
It's a bizarro oasis.
It's like a wasteland in the middle of a couple of the more tonier places in Houston.
Yeah, man. Ken was one of a kind. I'm going to miss him. A lot of people are going to miss him. And just a sad day. I found out driving home from vacation yesterday.
Is it fair to say one of the guys from the Chronicle said that he was almost like a Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm type character?
Oh, yeah, dude, 100%.
She's just gonna tell you how he sees it and kind of see a different facet to things than the average person might see it.
And he would find himself in all these situations that you could have easily wrote a Curb episode about or assigned.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude, I have more stories of things I've done with Ken Hoffman, like fun, entertaining, hilarious, sometimes pathetic things that I've done with Ken Hoffman. I have more stories with him than I do like my next 10 friends' stories combined.
Really?
Yeah, it's not an exaggeration, man. Like, I was in the car yesterday on a long trip finding this out, and I was just sitting there, and I was just so many stories kept coming back, so I'm going to miss him. A lot of people are going to miss him, but I'm going to acknowledge him one more time. And by the way,
acknowledge me!
Biggest wrestling fan I know. He would love being acknowledged in a segment where Roman Reigns was acknowledging him. I'm going to tell you that right now. All right. That was acknowledge me. All right. So we mentioned it. I started a war with the state of Minnesota while I was on vacation, because that's what I do. I'll play the audio that started the war with Minnesota, and I'll share with you some of the dumbest things that I learned about Twins fans. We'll do that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast. Someone asked on the text page, we just got done doing Acknowledge Me, and we acknowledged the various iconic figures that passed away over the weekend. Someone says, did I miss Jacoby Jones? No, Jacoby got his own segment in headlines. So,
yeah, and we can make mention of that throughout the show that
for sure.
Jacoby Jones passes away over the weekend. His family said that he passed quietly in bed at night, and 40 years old, and a guy that was just everybody I've ever talked to who was teammates with him says that he was one of the most unique individuals ever. Just like a pure beam of energy and fun and love. and in a way that very, very few people are. And then ended up, aside from having an incredible kickoff return for a touchdown in the Super Bowl, was like a huge hit on Dancing with the Stars.
Huge. Finished third.
Yeah.
Yeah, finished third. All right, so over the weekend, I was at, or over my vacation, two weekends ago, the 5th and the 6th, I went to the Twins-Astros game. So I was there on Friday night for that 13-12 game. The Astros almost found a way to lose in the ninth inning. And then I was there the next day for what was a blowout win by the Twins. Friday night was the night that went, you know, kind of off the rails a little bit, to me in a good way. I liked it. It was fun. The Astros won. But I did not like seeing Jose Altuve get beaned in the hand. Moreover, I did not like hearing Twins fans in my section cheering Jose Altuve, not only getting hit, but he went down in a heap. Like, I mean, from where we were sitting, Seth, we were in the left field bleachers. You couldn't tell if he got hit in the head. You couldn't tell if he got hit in the hand. You couldn't tell where he got hit. You could just tell he got hit up high. There was a sickening thwack. And the Twins fans sitting near me, several, were cheering while he was on the ground. I didn't like it one bit. And after the game, I had some things to say.
Man, we had to sweat that one out. The Astros did. They win 13-12 over the Twins. Here's my thing, and this is a PSA to all you non-Astro fans out there. When Jose Altuve gets beamed by a pitch, I don't care if you boo Jose Altuve when he comes to the plate. I actually encourage you to do that because he gets better when you do. When he gets hit on the wrist or the face or wherever the he got hit by and you cheer, you're a And so here's the thing. There were Twins fans out here in the bleachers, in these very bleachers, who cheered when Jose Altuve got hit. And I looked at them, and I glared at them, and they glared back. And the Astros proceeded to score monumental runs on top of what they had, seven runs. And I kept looking. It turned into glaring for them and laughing for me. When Margot dropped that fly ball, I literally rolled around on the ground and laughed because the Twins are a pathetic poser of a team. Here's my thing. Any of you teams out there, you fans that cheer for Altuve, here's my thing. If you're going to cheer when Altuve gets hit, just stay for the rest of the game. That's all I ask. Stay for the rest of the game, regardless of what the score is. Stay for the rest of the game. If you leave, you're a chump. You're a chump. And this whole set of stands right here, empty seats that once held thousands of chumps. Thanks for having us, Minnesota.
Okay, now maybe
thousands of chumps.
Maybe thousands was exaggerating a little bit. Not all thousands of them were cheering, but boy, it sure did make for good theater and good social media interaction.
You got from what I could tell, you were getting attacked by Twins fans the entirety of your vacation,
dude. It went on for 8 days. It finally simmered down over the weekend. Like it literally went on for days and days.
Just because you call them chumps.
I call them chumps.
And cowards.
And I didn't see
And whatever else was beeped out.
Yeah. So the a lot of interaction with these Twins fans, it's certainly created a team for me to have at least sort of a tangential rooting interest for or against, I would say.
Yeah. I was surprised because Prince once said that people in Minnesota are so nice because the cold keeps all the mean people away. The Minnesotans I saw on your social media did not seem all that nice to me at all. I don't think Prince would have approved.
No.
That's the state that killed Prince after all.
You got that right. So a lot of social media interaction. The video from which that audio came has over 700,000 views right now. These are the four dumbest things that I learned about Twins fans over the weekend, Seth. I'll rapid fire these very quickly.
Yeah.
They all still think Altuve cheated, which I've become kind of accustomed to everywhere. Like, that's just something we're going to have to live with that for the rest of Altuve's career. They all think Altuve cheated, right?
Right, right. Yeah, and they all, I would guess the majority of them actually believe the buzzer story, too, which is an even greater crime. If you believe the buzzer story, you're just a bastard.
Yeah. These people root for Correa.
And
Correa got hit the very next day. And I said, well, what are we doing here? You know, are we cheering this? He was a big cheater, too.
Right. If you hate Altuve because he's supposedly a cheater, which he was not, then Correa, who 100% did everything that he was accused of and owned up to it.
Yes.
And I love Correa, but what the hell?
Yeah.
Can you at least pretend to have some integrity,
dude?
Minnesota? Can you pretend to not be a complete dullard and moron?
Right.
My God.
So we've got that. Number two, there are a lot of people pointing out Houston is the only place that loves or respects Jose Altuve. He's not respected nor loved anywhere else in baseball, to which I pointed out he did get voted in to start the All-Star game. I want to point that out. He had like 2 million All-Star votes, and their reply was, well, Astro fans can stuff the ballot box. And I said, well, listen, Einstein, wouldn't it stand to reason that it would be all Astros then in the starting lineup, or at least more than just Altuve and Yordan?
No, it would be all Yankees and Dodgers fans. It would be like the teams that have the hugest fan base would be. It would like if it's all just fan voting, like a team's own fans voting. Yeah. Then yeah, it would be all Dodgers and Yankees and whatever other big fan bases.
Like Altuve starting, and Kyle Tucker couldn't win the runoff to get in.
Right.
You know, like it's stupid. Number three, and this might be the dumbest one. They, being the Twins fans, went into the whole how many World Series have you won versus how many have we won? And I was like, well, we've won two. And to my knowledge, you've won two, 1987 and 1991. They're like, oh, no, we've won three. We won in 1924 as well. And I'm like, wait, hold on a second. The Washington Nationals, this is before the Washington Senators, the first iteration of the Washington Nationals in 1924, which eventually, like 10 presidential terms later, administrations later, became the Twins, like in the 60s. They won the World Series in 1924. There are Twins fans out there claiming that as a Minnesota Twins World Series.
Because it was in Minnesota. Because it was a team that played in Minnesota.
No, they played in Washington. It was the team that eventually became the Twins.
Oh, the Washington National. Okay, I thought the team was in Minnesota.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
If you're going to get off, well, if they want to get that technical about it too, I would say that, I guess since maybe two-thirds of the guys that are on the Astros wouldn't be allowed to play in Major League Baseball at that time, then yeah, I guess so.
I like that.
You couldn't be a person of color in Major League Baseball. Congratulations on your super exclusive World Series, bums.
Dude, how about this? I had one guy tweet me because I was like, "Are you guys really claiming this? Like, you can't. This is the rule. You can't claim a championship for your city that your city did not actually celebrate. There's no way people in Minnesota in 1924 were celebrating Washington D.C.'s team winning the World Series back before the Depression. There's no chance of that. One guy says, how is this any different than if the Guardians were to win the World Series this year and if the Indians had won some World Series? I'm like, franchise. They changed the mascot.
Franchise. Yeah. Well, at that point, you just got to check out from those guys.
Which I did.
Again, they've already established they have no respect for the truth, Sean.
Yeah.
They have no respect for integrity. Just a vast wasteland of bastards and un-American pieces of crap up there is what they are. If you boo Altuve, then you are un-American.
Yep. And I say same franchise. I know that the technically that Washington team's the same. I'm talking about like the same city. Like Cleveland Indians, Cleveland Guardians. It's the same group of fans celebrating it. Washington Nationals in the 20s and Minnesota Twins fans, whenever, were never celebrating the same things. Last one, I had a lot of Twins fans coming at me like, how many wins are you on pace for this year? And I'm like, I don't know. Eight less than you. It's July. Like, what are we doing?
The best part about it is that even that Carlos Correa doesn't even want to be up there. They're like their beloved Carlos Correa, they choose not to be, ignore anything he might have done in the being better than everybody else scandal. He doesn't even want to be there.
Dude.
That was his fourth choice. Fourth choice. Under duress, he signed that contract after nobody else would take him.
I was courteous about that till the Altuve incident happened. And then I'm like, oh, you mean you guys, the sloppy fourths for Carlos Correa? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what I learned on my
It's like
vacation.
A guy from an arranged marriage bragging about how he bagged his wife. Dude, it was what
the
hell are you talking about? You had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, way to go. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Man, summer content for the NFL, at least according to social media and what I've seen, the morsels out there, is on fire. This is the cautionary tale when it comes to acquiring a diva wide receiver. And it ain't here. I'm going to tell you that right now. We'll let you hear it coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's a great day to venture out in a spacious and capable Toyota SUV, like the new RAV4. With available all-wheel drive, it can go just about anywhere. And with plenty of passenger and cargo space, you'll go from morning carpool to weekend road trip without missing a beat. Plus, with available features like wireless charging and a touchscreen interface, your Toyota RAV4 will keep you connected no matter where you're going. Or check out a spacious Highlander. With seating for up to eight, it's a hub for family adventure. You'll drive in comfort and style with available heated and ventilated seats and all the latest tech. And with available hybrid models, your new Highlander can save you tons on gas. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day. So don't wait. Buy a RAV4 or Highlander today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.